a really good question by Commissioner May, and we'll let you restate if you need to, but you're right on target. That's what we talked about last time. The salary adjustments, if any today, would not be predicated upon the cost of living increase other than some type of mathematical road sign that we could consider. Other than that, it is a salary increase, which is what would be granted, if any, okay, to those that are here. But
well, that is, I was in attendance last time by phone,
right,
and
knew
I
that.
Couldn't hear.
I know.
And so my question was, just as you stated, is that are we doing cost of living, or are we doing salary adjustments based on the various criteria? And you just answered that, so I'm satisfied.
Thank you. I love you being here in person. Sorry to put you that inconvenience, but I like it when we come right out of the chute. Let's get right started.
Yeah,
so we don't.
Well, I couldn't.
And we're gonna let the judges re-comment any way they want to today before we take any affirmative action. So let me, having said that, if I could please, number one, we have a quorum present to do business. Number two, everybody knows, I think, on the commission that Nathan Evers had to resign. He was called for his third term on the Board of Trustees of South Arkansas University, and we couldn't compliment him more. He was a fine addition. We appreciated his service, and I want to comment to you. I'm not trying to pander, but I'm just going to say it to you. We're citizens of this commission. We're citizens who also happen to be lawyers, bankers, entrepreneurs. And so I thank you for your time and volunteering to come here. Like everybody else in the beginning of the COVID in 19 and in all of 20, you know, we did everything by Zoom, tried to hear exactly the way we could. But anytime we can come together the way it's envisioned for us to do as a citizen, independent citizens commission, we get to deliberate. Deliberation involves the looking and hearing in person of one to the other. I know that's the old school, but as often as we can do that, we should, and I hope you'll continue to be supportive of that because you really are doing a good job with it. Let me also make this comment, great news, but we owe Melanie Jenkins a huge gratitude of service for the last 7.5 years. She is the only mandatory person that's involved through the auditor's office, and she's done so. She, to my knowledge, she gets no extra monetary consideration for the times I worry her and with having her do things. So I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. And this is especially true given the last 10 days to 12 days because of the sacrifice she's made with a serious illness of her mother. And I'm sorry to tell you that she lost her mother last Thursday, and she's still, what a trooper, here and working, and even teased me to say, you're not gonna get off that easy. I'm here again today. So we thank her very much.
And we can't tell
you that enough. Now, let me see, what's the next item of business
here? Call the roll.
Yeah, excuse me, call the roll.
Chairman Banks.
Here.
Jonathan Rogers.
Here.
Jan Zimmerman.
Here.
Philip Fletcher.
Philip's absent and can't be available.
Tommy May.
Here.
Justice Tuck.
Here.
Also, as you know, by her email and in my comments to you, that Nia cannot be present today. She's got a conflict with a thing that she's working on for training sessions for other lawyers over the Attorney General's office. Now, is Mr. Lloyd Kassler here? I think all have had an opportunity to read, I hope, Mr. Kassler's letter. I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was informative, and we haven't had citizens really get involved since before the COVID, And so if he comes in, as we told him, you're more than welcome to be here, you're more than welcome to have something to say, and we'll give him that accommodation. Now, if we could, not to keep the judges waiting too long, I'll just leave it up to y'all. I've got something there that, well, wait a minute. Is there any motions or additions or corrections to the minutes of the last meeting, August 25th? All those in favor, say aye.
I need a motion and a second first.
I'm sorry?
Need a motion.
I need a motion from somebody.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No one's opposed, so we'll go forward with that. I'm referring now, not that it's necessarily in order to talk about it right this minute, but Section C. You probably haven't had a chance to read it. That's actually, it's my fault. I thought it was published yesterday and not. I just had it put in the file. It's real self-explanatory. And it, before this meeting's over, I would like to explain to you my position and ask for a resolution, not necessarily today if you wouldn't be ready to go forward with it, but something fairly soon. Because I want to discuss with you the distinguishing factor between the Independent Citizens Commission, how it's been, how it was passed, how it was originated, how it's been mandated, how it's been run, and all the different factors that go into how this commission has been created by citizens in a unique capacity, unlike any other agency. We're not a state agency, we're a commission. And there is one entry and one statute that suggests that. And when given enough of time to go through this, I think you'll understand how that we already do exactly what it is that the commission would suggest that we do by that one statute. And if you looked at it first, especially as a lawyer, first thing you would think is what I thought. Well, that looks like we're obligated to send out a different notice and a different avenue. I don't think we are, and I'll be happy to discuss that with you further. Let's see. All right. Commission review for salary adjustment for circuit court judges, appeal judges, state Supreme Court judges, district court judges, and the prosecuting attorneys. There's something that we need to discuss. We shouldn't necessarily discuss it now, but we have not touched upon it since we had a Zoom meeting back last year, and when we made this decision, and it may be the same one you want to keep. But we need to understand, in my opinion, given the mandate and the responsibilities and duties of us under Article 19, Section 31, which sets out for us exactly what we should do, exactly what we can't do or not granted the right to do, and that is to review and adjust these salaries when necessary according to those guidelines. We're making I guess the way it's been presented, and I don't have any problem with that, the judgment of salaries for all of the ones I just read off. You understand, of course, that we have a whole group of judges, excuse me, of constitutional officers, governor, president pro tempore of the Senate, the Speaker of the House, and all the other constitutional officers that have made no request, no inquiry, no input whatsoever about a salary increase, yes or no. It may not be that it's worthy of discussion, but I think that we should consider that at some point, whether or not we want to continue with that mandate. Because frankly, I think they were requiring more of us than to just take a lump sum view of this. And I think the implication is for other states that they expect some type of delving into it with a little more thoroughness than, and what we did last year was nothing wrong with it. We did exactly what we should have done. But now I think that we need to think about it, not only for the rest of our tenure, but for y'all's tenure next year at the end of the year and future future commissions to come. That's just what I think of you. Does anybody have any comment before we let the judges speak to any other issue they want to talk about? Just open the floor to anybody. Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to speak to that. You know, the commission is given this charge to review all constitutional officers' salaries. And I think that should be done without reference to a request.
To what?
To a request. Because as I understand it, the effort was to take the issue of salaries out of politics, and I doubt that, you know, if I were in the position of the governor, I would not be asking for a salary raise. Okay. So I think we need to look at other states and as you say, do more delving to look at salary adjustments so that just because the elected officials, the other than the judges and prosecutors, don't ask for it, we need to keep their pay commensurate with what they should be getting and not just based upon their failure to request. Because what will happen is, all of a sudden, and we know this has happened in Arkansas in the past, when the governor was making, what, $32,000 a year, and that's not appropriate for the chief executive officer of the state. So I think you're exactly right that we need to do more delving. I mean, we've done a lot on judges, and I think we've done a good job on judges, but I think we need to do more delving into the other constitutional offices and what is going on around the country. Because the whole idea of this commission was to take it out of politics and make sure our constitutional officers were adequately compensated for their work.
Yes, Tom.
Yes, that is exactly right. The one thing that we have to always think of, whether we have input from the constitutional officials or not, you know, we're not evaluating performance. What we're doing is that we're making sure that we keep the salary ranges where they should be. And if we don't do that, somebody a year from now or 2 years from now are going to be out of line with where they should be, and then some citizens committee is going to have to recommend a big jump to get them back to where they should be or adjustments over a period of time. And I just think it is critical that we not only understand we're not a performance review group, but we are certainly responsible for making sure that the salary ranges are where they should be. Because again, I very much, in my own organization, you know, what you don't want to do, but regardless of what somebody says, if they don't want an increase, well, they still may have to take an increase because, you know, the issue of making sure that we're staying up to where we should be in that line.
John?
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, what we've got from the judges and all, and what we've been prepared to compare them to other states. I think that would be good to have for all those positions for us to look at. And you know, kind of going back to what they said, I do think we need to look at each one individually and kind of come back together once we have all that information and kind of figure out what we need to do, because we want to be in line with other states, and we want to be sure that we're giving them the raises that they're owed. And just like, you know, just Tuck said, it's hard to ask for a raise when you're in that position, right? So that's not what they're going to do, but it's our job to make sure that we keep that in line and that we give them the raises appropriate, especially through the past year. It's been a hard year for all those people, especially our governor. You know, so I think it's something we ought to look at and get that information and just kind of go through each one individually and see how we compare with other states around us. I'm proud of the fact that our judges are, have good pay compared to other states. You know, I think that's something we should be proud of as a state. And I'm also proud of our government and the fact of, you know, the report we had last month with our budget surplus. I mean, that shows all these people are working hard and, you know, obviously doing a job that they've been asked to do by the citizens. So obviously there's more that goes into that, but I think it's just something we have to look at each one individually. I agree we don't lump it in like we did somewhat last year, even though last year I think that was appropriate, going back to what you said. But this time I think we have time before the end of the year, whatever that may be, to look at each one individually, get that information, and just reconvene and go through each one and see what we want to do. It may be that some get a little more and some may get a little less. It may be that they all wind up getting the same percentage over time, but I think it's something we should just look at.
Thank you. Commissioner?
Good morning, and I also agree with my other fellow commissioners. We are charged to separate ourselves as we make our decisions going forward, because we basically have a group that we have to look at that has no voice really in this, as opposed to some of the agency decisions that we heard about last meeting, of where the employees are given performance increases and raises, they also benefit from having cost of living raises. We have to look at our judiciary and understand that they step up, they run for these positions, they operate under their judicial canons and making good decisions for the citizens of the state of Arkansas, and it's incumbent upon us to look at the jobs that they're doing, because there is no other voice for salary increases or cost of living than this commission. So it does take a lot of thought and study, and also applicable to our constitutional officers.
Thank you all. I appreciate that. I agree with everything each and every one of you said. I would ask you this one question. Do you, and this is not to be provocative, I'm just thinking in my mind, Commissioner May, do you not foresee at any point, in other words, is the language of Article 19, Section 31 indicative that it's, that we are clearly never would be in a posture that we would evaluate performance as a condition for a salary adjustment? Again, I agree with what you said, all of it. I'm just asking this as
so a question. What does it say again, that we will or will not?
We shall. It's mandatory.
Well, the problem,
it just doesn't say performance. It says a salary adjustment, and then factor in all these different conditions.
Yeah. Well, I think we have to factor in all the conditions, again, as we've said, what comparable positions are in other states, what situations
are in
our state and inflation. But we don't have the capacity, in my opinion, to evaluate performance.
All right.
I agree with that, because I think performance review involves other people reviewing and giving us information. And just speaking as a retired judge, the performance review is by the electorate. it's not, and likewise for other elected officials.
That's a good point.
It's by the electorate. Yeah. They like what you do or they don't like what you do or your policies. Of course, judges are not supposed to take positions. They're supposed to be, you know, nonpartisan and neutral under the law and following the law and interpreting the law. And I think it would be most inappropriate for us to do performance review for elected officials.
Well, so I'll stay in good stead with the rest of you. I also agree with all of you exactly the same thing. But I wanted to ask the question just to make sure we thought our way through the whole process. Having said that, judges, anybody else want to comment, I suppose, in relation to, if at all, anything else that we've discussed before, revisit something that you discussed last time, make any comment, pro or con, about the letter we received from this gentleman from Bryant, Mr. K. Kessler. Chief, come on forward.
Chairman Banks, I just want to rely on the statement of comments I made at the last meeting. I don't have any addition to that. Just like the courts expect the parties to, and the citizens to respect their rulings, we as judges and judicial will respect your rulings in this case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justice. Chief. All right. Well, then let's proceed. The only one that we have the mandate about the, in Article 19 about, or the circuit judge about the uniform salary. So let's just take them however you want, in what order. I assume everybody's ready to go forward and
May I ask as a point of information, I presume based upon what you had said earlier, Jonathan, that we'll start dealing with the other elected constitutional officers, not in this meeting, but we'll,
that's right,
we'll get more information, yeah, and we'll, then start working on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll be getting the calendars at the end of the meeting to see if we can do something here within the next 10 days in September.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, I'd like to kick this off, and we heard from John Shelnut an excellent report. I mean, we're so proud of the state of Arkansas and how it's done through some pretty bad times. But I would hesitate to take into account all of this money that flowed in to Arkansas that's one-time money. It's not sustainable. And I went back and read some of the information that we were provided by John's office. Thank you. Is it not working?
It's calling from problem.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're not your fault.
Okay. Thank you. We always have to have our tech people straighten us out.
Yeah.
I, as a part of personal privilege, I was in services yesterday. Yesterday was Rosh Hashanah, and we had to have tech people straighten something out in the middle of the service. So I'm used to being interrupted. But he pointed out that because the tax deadline changed in 2020, it really gives kind of a false balloon of revenue in one year versus another year. And so you get to the point where we were fortunate we didn't have to have mid-year cuts like some states did. But we got less collection of monies, non-federal monies, during this period, which is understandable. Sales taxes, and actually sales went up because of the monies from the COVID payments from the federal government, because people had money to spend and they needed it for groceries, etc. So I want to place that on the table to make sure we understand that we have fared very well up to now, but I think the jury's out for the future when those one-time monies, and they've stopped now. They're finished. I mean, I know there's some eviction money that's supposed to be paid out and stuff like that, but so the fact that we're flush right now, I think, should be taken as a caution. And I just wanted to make that statement first.
Thank you, I concur. Any other statements? Any other commissioners want to speak on that issue?
Well, as I read the 600-page report,
oh, yeah,
and all the bar charts, I noticed that our income was primarily on internet sales tax fairness, receipts of consumers that were spending money for sure, but we were relying on that money coming in. And I think that Dr. Shulman pointed out from 2016 until now, we now sit with over $1 billion in a surplus fund, which I think is admirable. I also heard him say, as he talked about inflation and other budgetary items, that you know, he looked at the car market and how that was going to affect the state, but he didn't see anything going forward that was going to drastically affect where we are. And I think that speaks to the long-term policy of the state of Arkansas operating under a balanced budget provision. I was also struck that all of our funding through the state was funded in all categories, which I can't remember hearing anything like that. You know, always if you were in the bottom part of category B or C, you probably weren't going to get any money. So I think that the economic engines of our state are alive and well when we look at things going forward. And the fact remains is everything costs more across the board. And I understand my charge in being a responsible citizen, but I also understand that there are people that are maybe taking lesser money in these positions in order to, because in their conscious, they want to serve the state of Arkansas. They want to make good decisions for us going forward. And I don't feel like because of that, that we need to look at that any other way than one of their good service that has been provided.
Y'all may have covered this in the last meeting, but you know, from a business person's perspective, every year you have a budget, and you give guidance as to what the expectations are as far as dollars that will be spent. So, in the I didn't hear the presentation, but did we get guidance on a cap? How many dollars we could come back and recommend, or what percentages we can come back and recommend? Because you sort of have to have that guidance. Somebody's overseeing the full budget. And, you know, if we come back, some number is going to get them out of whack, even though it may not. Have we received some kind of guidance on that?
I'm not familiar with that, no.
Okay. Again, maybe this is just a different way, but if... thank you.
Yeah, going back to what, you know, Ms. Zimmerman said, you know, in our business, in this past year with inflation and things like that, especially getting people to work, and we've had to have significant raises, more than 3% or 5% to our employees, just because of the cost of living. And, you know, inflation is there, and, you know, whether it be a cost of living adjustment or a performance raise, I just think it's one of those things that if you look back from where we were a year ago when things cost, what we are today is drastically different, right? Whether you go to the grocery store or the lumber yard or whatever that may be. So I do think we have to be responsible, you know, definitely with what we do with the state funds, but I also think we have to be responsible in what we tell the people about what we give them a raise for, you know what I mean? And 3% to me, in my opinion, is very reasonable for the year that we've had. When you talk about the amount of money that is, the position that they're in, you know, the degrees, what they've gone to school to do, and how they represent our state, I definitely want to be mindful of the citizens, and we don't want to give away money that we don't need to give away, but I definitely don't think it's giving it away. It's an earned increase, and probably could be argued that it should be more than that based on the last year with inflation and things And that may be something we have to look at next year, you know what I mean? But I would think keeping it in line with what the state did is a safe thing, in my opinion, and something that we should say, okay, if the state feels this way about the employees of the state, I don't think we should afford the people that have asked us for a 3% raise less than that. That's my personal opinion on it based on the past year.
So was that? Was that number 3%?
Yes, I mean, as we go down through the numbers, it was 3%. Yeah, I believe so. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of those.
No, that's not wrong. One thing, I'm really timid about saying anything to be interpreted as if I'm not aware and fully appreciative of what these judges have done and what this commission has done in the past to bring in current. I just want us to be sure, at least I'm talking to myself, because nothing you said that I disagree with. I'm not sure that 3% is the right number, but it probably is. I'm not going to be provocative about it. But I want us to remember some of the things that we heard when we talked with them last about the issues of whether or not you're in reasonably good standing with other states that we made that contrast to. And then we considered all the other different considerations that we're supposed to consider, one of which is that I don't ever want to feel like that I'm not paying attention to the other half of the spectrum. Because everything you said, each and every one of you said, and I'll say it to them sitting here, they deserve what this commission adjusts upward for them. They do. I don't have any question about that. But be sure, this is what I keep saying to myself, be sure that we're not being totally focused on one half of the considerations and what all the other people are getting or not getting that are state employees. Now, be sure I hasten to tell you, I don't think we have no jurisdiction to raise a state employee. Right. We have no jurisdiction to do anything for state employees. It's not even in our mandate. But I think we're supposed to consider. Having said that, I don't have any objections to what any of you said. Thank you.
I want to point out, this is Annabelle, I want to point out that the information given to us about states, Oklahoma, Louisiana, when you look at those, actually Missouri, I think, it's a mixed bag, but Iowa pays more for most of these positions, and Tennessee pays more for some of them. Oklahoma is lower in most of its positions, and Louisiana is about the same as Arkansas. With respect to Missouri, I would say that it has some lower points, but it also has some that are the same. So in looking at those, they didn't really give me a lot of help, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm looking at these averages that were done. You've got it right there. Missouri, Louisiana, and Tennessee. And even with the averages, I don't think you can draw many conclusions about comparables. We know that there is more expense now. I mean, we know that the inflation rate has been higher than usual. I don't know how long that's going to last, but that doesn't forestall the issue for us, which is now. not the future. I mean, inflation may go down. I don't know. But it may go up. It's always, I remember in negotiating a contract with somebody recently, you know, we put a cap. We put a cap on something, and we were so glad we did, because if it had been cola-based, we would be at 6%. But, so I'm, if you were to ask me, and if I vote today, if we vote today, I would be in favor of the 3%. Even looking at both sides of the equation, you know, I've already talked to you about the one-time money that's come through, but that hasn't changed the fact of the matter that the cost of living is more expensive right now. So I can't ignore that.
You raise an excellent point, and I won't comment on it.
Yeah.
The very thing you talked about not the comparisons to other states not giving you the kind of help that you were looking for, I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I also felt this, and sometimes I don't, when I come up with some of my brainstorms, I probably wish a lot of times I hadn't said them, because they're not applicable. Here's what I hope this commission, and it's not doing it, and part of why I'm preaching is that we can't let ourselves do it, and that is this. If we become a commission that, for the right reasons, but at the same time the result is that we just rubber stamp whatever that comes over from the governor's office, not that there's anything wrong with it, I'm just saying what's called for in our mandate of Article 19, Section 31, if we rubber stamp it each year because we like them and they do good jobs and all that, then I fear that there'll come a point when what's the reason for us to be here? You can turn that back over to the legislature and tell the governor, hey, listen, you just keep sending your cost of living and your that, and you won't need us. And I don't mean that to be impertinent. I promise you, I think that from the heart. I just want us to be sure, and I'm talking out loud to myself as much as anything, because we did one vote last year, and I remember afterwards I thought, I didn't really say a word. I just went along with it, you know. And I'm not going along to get along. I'm just saying, bear that in mind. I know you are. I know you're doing it, and that's why you're articulating what you're doing today, and I appreciate hearing it.
It seems like to me that we need a, quote, salary administration plan that we follow year in and year out. We can make adjustments to that, you know, based on things that happen. And I think in the time that I've been on the board, you know, we talked about using these states as a guide, you know, to help us understand that are we in the median, the mean of what these positions are. Well, if we're going to use it, we need to use it, and if we're not, we need to at least establish what guidelines that we want to use. For example, just taking the judges, for example, I would like to have the mean, the median for each position. Now, we may have to establish that ourselves. If you do this average here, do we have that?
We actually do. We have, if you look at what you're looking at, the first page, it has the mean and the median for the whole country. and it lays out the chief, the associate justices, the judge, and general jurisdiction. Doesn't have the appellate chief, but bottom line, we're as it states, we're 21 and 27. So we're right in the middle right now.
So
we weren't there a long time ago.
Right.
Before this commission was created.
So would you agree that that our plan, our salary administration plan, so to speak, is that whether we use the 4 or 5 states or whether we use this, that we should at least our guideline would be that we want to be in the midpoint. We want to be, say, 80% of the midpoint, wherever we want to be. And if we're not there, we then make the decision how long it would take us to get there.
I think it's an excellent idea of whether or not we can employ it now for this year. I don't know if we're going to get that done or not, but if you had the time, or anybody else on the commission wants to do it, along with Justice Tuck, the two of you, or all four of you, want to put that into a plan that we can work with, anything that improves the process for us to be more accurate and more fair and reasonable, then I'm all for it.
I think from my process that it's from the standpoint of objectivity and from the standpoint of moving this along, based on what you mentioned, that we're going to take our time on each one of these. We think the first thing we need to do is say, okay, this is where we want to be, and if we're not, then we know that some are going to need more than others to get to this point.
And
that's not, I mean, to me, excuse me, to me, it just moves things along faster, and it gives us a great guideline to follow.
Does the same...
Yeah, I want to point out, and I was generalizing, but I want to point out, if you look on this survey from the National Center on State Courts, the median for the Chief Justice is $190,460. Our Chief Justice makes $181,674. So we're talking about a $9,000 difference. Then the Associate Justice on the median makes $183,900, and I can't really see what that figure is, but our Associate Justices make $174,771, so that's less than the median. The judge of the Intermediate Appellate Court in Arkansas makes $160,134, whereas the median is $177,633, so that's less. Now, on the circuit judge side, we've hit the target. The circuit judges are at $163,797, and the median is $163,110. So, you know, I just wanted to let you know they don't have district judges on this. That's one thing they do not have in this National Center, because they have a different organization. But I just wanted you all to know that We've done pretty well on the trial courts, but we are still, in terms of median, if you want to set that as a standard, we're still dragging. And I do know that there has been some commentary, and I will encourage the the judges to speak on this who are here, if they want to, which is the amount payment paid to the district judges is, to the circuit judges, is more than the Court of Appeals judges. Is that right?
No, just I think you were maybe in the wrong column.
Wait a minute.
Some of your figures.
Okay.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but candor to the tribunal, I need to point that out.
Okay. I appreciate that. But bottom line is, I think we have done a good job of bringing up the level over time. And if we're going to use median, we're in the ballpark, but we're not quite there yet. For me.
I think that's a well articulated exactly what I'm thinking. Now, you may find a couple of positions that are over. And that doesn't mean that you don't get any increase. It just means that the increase would be less. And I don't know if we have anybody that is over. Likewise, if you're quite a bit under, it doesn't mean you're going to jump above to that level. It means if everybody is, say, the 3%, that you may do 4.5%. At those, but with a very specific goal in mind of reaching that median midpoint in 3 years or 4 years, whatever it is, but it would move that along. Otherwise, every year it's going to be either below or above if we're using just the cost of living or the inflation rate. By the way, inflation rate is very precarious to use with what we're looking at right now, in my opinion.
I want to correct myself. I was looking at this figure, and that's not correct. If I want to take the actual figures from a survey by the National Center on State Courts published July of this year.
Yeah, it's in.
And we are really at right in the target area, because like if I were we don't know here, we don't have the chief judges, but we have the associate justices make 184,588, and the median is 183,939. So, and then the intermediate appellate court makes 177,633, and we are a little above that, 179,213. And finally, the general jurisdiction judges, the median I said was 163, and we're at 174,883. So I'm sorry I misspoke. I was using the wrong tally. If this is an average without Arkansas. So bottom line is, I think we've done a good job. That doesn't address the issue, though, of the inflation factor.
I want to ask you a question. Did I understand your comment when you were reading from that chart a minute ago about our position of our judges, the specific ones you were talking about, that we had done well and mm-hmm. done better, but we were still dragging?
No, that I used the wrong chart for that. That is incorrect. And I want to stand corrected.
In my incorrect in this, that part of that thing came from the chart from the National Center.
Yeah.
Did some of the states that we contrasted our judges to,
the surrounding
states, did not some of those states not give their judges any last year any increase?
I don't know. I mean, I think
I'm correct. At least two or three states didn't give any increase. And the reason I point that out
is, I don't know, because it doesn't reflect here.
Well, I thought we had a document in here when we met the other day. But assume I'm not correct. I guess the only reason I raise that is not in opposition to what you said. I want to be sure that my sense that it's not a race to move these judges up to the highest possible level that they deserve, but not necessarily given the analysis that we're doing, that it's not timely to give it to them. We're the ones in charge of this, yeah. Nobody else.
What I'm saying though is this information that was obtained and then the backup of each state only tells us something about the 2021-22 fiscal salary. It doesn't say anything about 20. So I don't know whether they got a raise or not.
All right. You gonna talk?
It's my understanding that we've made a lot of headway in adjusting the salaries. I personally want to take into consideration what our states surrounding us are doing, but I also know that there are different economic engines in each state, and the way they're taxed, or maybe not taxed in different manners, that we don't necessarily always have to be a follower, but maybe it would be nice if we're a leader in some of these categories with the way our state is moving and being driven by multiple economic engines, not tied as some of the surrounding states around us are. Arkansas is blessed to have many, many different kinds of businesses that drive our state, and I think we should be reflective of that in our compensation, not to always be a follower, but to maybe be a leader. What I'm hearing is our salaries look like maybe they're in line for now, but I feel that we're talking about more of the cost of living adjustments, more so in a COLA formulation of 3%.
Are you saying you think that's the discussion, or you're saying that you think that's what we ought to be doing?
I'm saying that I've appreciated the discussion that we have, and also looking at the national judicial pay scale, that we certainly, with due diligence and a lot of conversation and thought, have looked at that to make our judges in line with the national standard for sure. Mm-hmm. But we still need to be adjusting what has affected all of us, which is the cost of living increase, which has affected every citizen in the state of Arkansas, bar what the contiguous states around us are doing.
I think I agree, but where I still get a little bit confused is, so if we are using a target that we would develop, a plan that we would develop to where there is a range, a value, a worth for every position, and that is established, that worth is established by using some criteria. I mean, you could go and get a consultant to tell you that. That's not what I think we want to do, but you could. So you got to have some way to come up with that worth value. And we're talking about using these states. And yes, if we had the money, I'd like for us to be proactive and on the top end of it. But if we went ahead in some way to develop that to where we could look at it and see what it meant, then I think we could adjust that ourselves. We could have some kind of adjustment factor to accomplish what you want to and being the leader. In other words, our goal may not be midpoint.
Right.
Our goal may be in the 75th percentile or the 60th percentile or the 80th percentile. And I like that. And I think it then gives us all what we're all wanting to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Any other comments or discussion? Are we ready to put this on the floor as a motion? Or you want to talk about it more? There's no rush. Nobody's being rushed.
Chairman, are we taking this category by category, or is this motion to be made for across the board?
I thought we were taking it by the category of the Chief Justice in the Supreme Court.
Yes, that's what I thought. I just wanted to be sure.
Am I wrong? Did I misunderstand?
Well, you can do it either way. I mean, I think you could do it as all judges, appellate and trial, or you can do it separately. I guess my position is, if you're going to raise one group of judges, why wouldn't you raise the other group of judges? So I'm just sharing with you that I don't see a distinction.
Well, I agree, but I just wasn't clear since we talked about the different categories.
I guess I'm fine with going ahead and voting on this, but when it comes to the other offices we're going to discuss, and going back to Tommy's comment about, you know, I guess, not to get off of this subject, but if we had the similar information that we have for the judges, this makes the decision on the judges not easy, but more simplistic when you compare to other states and see where we rank and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So if we had that similar information, and then we could meet and discuss as a group in here, whatever, kind of what we want that to be. You know, I think that would help us in our decision making for 2022 and beyond, even when it comes to the justices and as we discuss their salary info too for future years. So just my thought about how we get that information.
So are you for putting the whole group of judges into one group that we're going to vote on?
No, I was not talking about that. I was just talking about for the future.
Okay.
I think that's exactly right. We're talking about salary adjustments for 22, is that correct?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Next year.
So.
That's right, isn't it?
We got
22 fiscal year.
Yeah.
And so that's September. Is that September from
now?
So that's been.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking is, we want to get the cart before the horse. What I would love to do is, if we agree on what we just talked about, if we could get a report developed that would, using the judges as an example, that would show again the median, the midpoint, or the mean, whatever we want to use for every position based on the survey of those states or the national or both. If we can do that, that's when we ought to then make a recommendation for the adjustment on the position. Now, how we get that done, I'm not real sure. I'm not sure if the state can prepare that report for us. You know, if they could, that's where we ought to do it. But if they can't, then, you know, my mind be able to do that. But am I right in saying that we want to get the ranges established before we do an increase?
I guess in my opinion, we've got a lot of that information for judges.
Oh yeah, we've got it.
I'm comfortable discussing what they've requested today. You know, not to postpone that. But I think when we're talking about governor, you know, all these other offices, we don't really have all that information. But I guess my point was, as we look at this for next year with judges and justices, I think at that point in time, we could have that for every position. You know what I mean? Just like we have that spreadsheet I was looking at, that's got every person, every office that we're trying to determine. You know, if we had that for all those positions, it would help us next year as we go forward with this to say, okay, well, district courts, maybe we don't do 3%, maybe we do 1%, and you know, maybe this group would do 5% to get them in line with what you were thinking about, back to your idea there.
All right, any other comments? And I'll entertain a motion that we take the judges as a whole. And that's what you want to do, right? Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll go ahead and bite the bullet. I move that for the fiscal year 2022, we adjust the salary of all judges, appellate and general jurisdiction, and district judges, right? They're included. Right. Well, the prosecuting attorney gets tied in automatically. So by doing this, it affects the prosecutor's salary by 3% based upon this particular year's inflation factor.
And did that include the prosecutors?
Right.
Okay.
The prosecutors are already
right.
included indirectly.
I thought so. I'm
just wondering. I second the motion.
All those in favor say aye.
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 You can dissent. I've dissented.
Well, I think it looks. I know I can. I'm troubled by it, but I think it looks tacky to grandstand with one single vote, since that's the consensus of the commission as a whole.
You can go through them individually.
Huh?
Well, you can do it individually.
What do you mean?
If you want to go back and do them individually.
No. I mean, I think that's just good taste, and so I'm voting for it. All right, now does that complete everyone on from the jurors list of all the judges? Is that right? Okay.
We will. The 10-day waiting for the 10-day.
Oh yeah, everybody understands this. I know that it's mandated by us that this is a vote for a proposition to the public, the 10-day waiting period for public comment. We'll come back again and then confirm this resolution. It will be put in the resolution form, and then we'll come back and vote on it in finality and then send it to the
auditors.
Yeah. So, everybody's clear on that? So we don't need to vote on that. Is there anything else we need to do?
Chairman, do we need to set?
I'm sorry?
Do we need to set a date to come back and discuss the constitutional officers?
Yeah, we do. Who's got
okay.
a? We've got a Cal Moran, you got Cal Moran on there?
I do.
How about next week, not the 15th, that's a Wednesday, but.
The 22nd, the following Wednesday?
No, do we have to do it on Wednesday? What about Tuesday of next week? Is that too soon? That's not 10 days, is it?
No, it's not 10 days.
Okay. What's the 22nd? Is that a Wednesday?
Mm-hmm. It is. And that's 14 days, calendar days, not business.
Is that where I got?
You have a board meeting on the 22nd.
That's not a good date to me. Can we do it on the 14th? No,
14th,
I'm kidding. Can we do it on the 21st?
21st.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Does that work for everybody?
It's on Tuesday, 21st.
That's on a Tuesday?
Uh-huh.
Tuesday, 21st.
At 10
o'clock?
Is that
Tuesday?
Tuesday.
September 21st.
September 21st. September 21st. At 10. 21st, what y'all want to do? Okay.
All right, 10 o'clock. Tuesday the 21st. Is that right?
Yeah. Are we facing to the jerk?
Huh?
Are
no.
We getting...
No.
No.
Not quite.
Not quite. We got stuff.
I just really want to to understand, are we going to get a report developed along the lines of what we've talked about?
We're going to make a request.
I'm all for that. Whether or not, we don't have a budget, as you know, and there's a reason for that. So it's mandated in our act. So we'll request it, and
yeah.
Then I think that what we can do, if one or two, you or Justice Tuck, I'll be happy to help pile in on it to try to cobble that out the way we want it, then let's do it.
I'd be glad.
But we'll get the Bureau of Research and any other agencies that starting with Melanie. She knows how to.
She knows where to go, who to ask. Yeah, I would urge that. I don't think that information will be available by this next meeting, though.
No.
No,
oh,
no. No. It's.
And that's what I was thinking.
It's kind of intensive. I mean, it's a lot. So I want to be sure we are being realistic with the timelines.
I think that we can probably get it before your next meeting.
Okay.
It's in the Book of States for the governor and for legislators across the nation.
Okay, great. I figured you had some organization that had this stuff, so. Anyway, that's great. Well, then, do we go to per diem next? Discussion of per diem?
I have one more question.
Yeah.
And that is, so we made an adjustment of 3% for the judges. Mm-hmm. Justice.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Okay, so if we did that with the report that we have, this report right
yeah.
here, are we below the midpoint as shown by
we're
this
right on target.
In judges, so that 3% won't throw it over.
Not really.
Okay.
And we don't know what the other states are going to be doing for 2022, too. Also.
Okay.
We're going forward and other states are going forward, and so it may be that that's why you get a yearly report.
Anything else right now? Okay, I was going to say to the judges, thank you for coming. Appreciate all your input. Thank you for your patience of waiting over another week. Prosecutors too. And you're welcome to stay if you care to hear this brilliance, or you free to go home.
You may be excused. You got other fish to fry.
Thank you.
Okay, you had another question, and you want to know about per diem.
Well, we have the per diem and the APA statute.
Let me tell you something that may hopefully speed this up.
Sure, no problem.
We got some more information in last night from, I forget which one of the agencies we requested.
I
said, don't send it out to we'll talk about it tomorrow because they don't have time to read it. In conversations with Roy Ragland, I'm convinced that the way we've done this in the past can be properly done pursuant to our mandate through Article 19. And that is that there are so many oversights that go on including GSA.
Yeah.
That they're going to try to get this report where I can present it to the commission as a whole that basically simplifies the huge indulgence of looking at all these different legislatures. That's already being done. Mm-hmm. But as long as we can look at that and read that and understand and then follow our duty to say we recommend this report, just like we did last time, except we just kind of signed off, so to speak, which was okay. So if y'all will indulge me in that, then either the next meeting, or I'll have this before the next meeting, and the next meeting we can take it back up. And I think with some degree of simplicity and lack of unnecessary work, we can approve the report and send it And then we can use that as a standard from here on.
Yeah, I like that.
Because we've got once for all what we're supposed to get, not just ESA. Is that fair enough?
So that will be postponed until the next meeting.
Roy's not here anyway. Anyway, he knows what to do. We're all on the right track with that. And by the way, one last thing, I keep forgetting. This is Jody Boyd Edgerton. She is a longtime friend of mine, originally from my home in Mississippi County. And we've been friends, and Jody has agreed to help me part-time as my legal assistant. And she does a great job. She's very smart, very talented. Anyway, that's who Jody is. Now, is there any other questions or comments? And I'd like to take up this section C. And I need a minute to kind of collect my thoughts on this. And I can't read to you because I can't stand doing that, but I might try to find something to read. Here's what I'm asking this court, asking this commission to resolve. And it probably didn't even need, other than informational for you, it probably really didn't even need to put it to you in this type of format where it appears I'm making a speech, so to speak, but I'm not. As I told you, since the last meeting of last year, I've re-questioned some people collect seashells, some people collect duck mounts. I think about the Constitution and how it's come about and why. And I've been going back and really digging in to Article 19, Section 31. And the day before our last meeting, Nia brought it to my attention that one section, this one statute, identified us as a commission, which made us a part of the Administrative Procedures Act. And I looked at that and I told her I'll bring it up at the end of the commission, but I'm not criticizing her. I just said I don't agree, I don't share your opinion that we are mandated to do anything more than what we're doing, because we're not an agency, we're a commission. And so what I want to talk to you about is to bring this information to your attention. I would like for you to give me the direction and go ahead that we don't have to do anything more than what we're doing now, because we're not an agency consistent with that, because of how we were originated, how we were legally mandated with this commission, and what our duties and responsibilities are, and that to do anything otherwise is just duplicating what we do today. And frankly, I don't want to see this commission do anything more than what I think. I didn't think like this on the first time I was on this commission. I thought the whole thing was interesting, but it didn't even stand a chance of passing. But it did. And after I've studied this and thought about it, been on one group and then now on this next group, I've come to believe that this commission is an exercise in our purest form of democracy, citizen participation, independent from government. And again, I didn't think like that before, but if you look and read, Vermont and New Hampshire are the only ones in this country that really exercise and use pure democracy in the form of citizens' meaningful participation. So having said all that, here's the bottom line. There is no other entity in state government that was originated like this one. This was originated by citizens' vote to establish an independent commission by constitutional mandate, not by agency, not by any entity of state government. The only entity of state government that was used to implement this was the governor and the secretary of, the president pro temp and others that appointed people to a commission who answers to the citizens. And after that, the governor and all the other people are people that are helping us and meaningful, and we, you know, we want to cooperate and get along with them, but we don't answer to them by way of an agency relationship. It is a pure commission relationship. And when you look at Article 19, Section 31, you see exactly how that any exemption that's granted to another commission is already being handled by us. In other words, we're mandated from step one to the end. The only thing we're allowed to do by citizen approval is contained right there with how the people are qualified, how long they can serve, who and what they are to do with the everyday running of this commission, and all the other components that go into how we run it. And it's been run, this is really self-serving, but the first commission did a huge amount of work. We had all type of, and I think that Melanie could certainly confirm, but she didn't like to talk. She can confirm to you that all these people came here and told us exactly how this was to run. It's really quite brilliant in the end of how it's to run. But it's not to be where you are conforming as if you're an agent providing services to a state agency, because you're not. The only one we answer to, as I was saying before the meeting started, is the jurisdictional courts and to the media through FOIA. That's it. And the rest of it is clearly spelled out for us, exactly how we do, how long we're here. See, I'll be gone next year, and then y'all will presumably be back, unless you choose not to be, for your second term. And so I don't want us to get encumbered. And it's not that I'm paranoid about a state agency. They provide great services. But if you look at the mandate for us, then all we're required to do is it sets it superbly in there about public notice. And then upon public notice, with the public having a chance to be involved, then the citizens are independent of any other influence. It was taken away, as Justice Tuck said a while ago, taken away totally from the legislature. That's by design. And so I want us to stay within our lane, so to speak, and not get outside the lanes, because I think it does not fare us well. I don't think we accomplished what we need to accomplish. Now, chime right in, and I can say more and bore you with a longer dissertation, but I fully believe it's in our best interest, or I wouldn't send it to you. As a matter of fact, when you first look at it, a lawyer would think, oh, that's kind of a no-brainer. Yeah, we should sign up and become a part of this website. We already have our website. We've had it for 7.5 years. It's been run superbly. Our adherence to our other other oversight person, the media with FOIA, has been handled superbly, in my opinion. And we don't have a budget, so we're not obligated to pay anybody to put us on another website. It's all there already, and we've been doing it all that period of time. And just at the last meeting, how it came up or not, I'm not sure, but she wisely, and I think it was a good thing to alert it to us so that we can see this and show the distinction so that we don't have to be involved in that. Is that making sense?
Yeah, I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to go back and do some research before we decide, and I'll tell you why. Because as you say, if you're a lawyer, you look at this and go, oops. So it points out agency means a board, commission,
that's right,
department, officer, whether within or subject to review by another agency, doesn't matter. It's a commission, whether it's under review or not, by another agency. And then it has these exceptions of other commissions.
That's right.
So you got Arkansas Public Service Commission, Arkansas Pollution Control and Ecology Commission, the Workers' Compensation Commission. And to be honest with you, I can't remember if any of those commissions were by public initiative. I know workers' comp, I mean, they were all constitutional provisions. That's clear. But because I know workers' comp was a constitutional provision, I'd have to go check the others, but I don't know if they were citizens' initiatives. So I'd like to go back and review that and review Amendment 19, Article 19 rather. And I hear what you're saying, because the Administrative Procedures Act is there for oversight. It's for oversight.
Exactly.
It's there for appellate purposes.
For what?
I mean, for appeal purposes. I mean, it's there. This is the procedure you have to go through to challenge a decision.
Absolutely.
You know, and I don't think we meet that. I don't think we meet that.
Not at all.
So you really don't have an appeal from us. Unless we don't follow Article 19. You don't, there's,
that's right.
You can't object. So I'd like, if you don't mind, to postpone this until the next meeting, and maybe Nia can be here and talk to us too at that time. Because I just want to do my due diligence, because I wasn't aware of this issue.
When you, I couldn't, that's fine.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring to your attention, because you need to know it and then do the due diligence you're looking for. When you do, I would appreciate it, because I know you will.
Yeah.
I really want you to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you come to a conclusion that's different than mine, I want to debate with you some more.
Sure. Yep.
Just be honest with you.
Listen.
Because I think if we wade into look at every one of the rules of APA, and the only time we're mentioned is in one little tiny section.
I know.
But if we wade into this, I think it's a big mistake. If the distinction we should have an exemption, because it's already implied in Act 39 of 19.
Right. Well, what it may be, we need some cleanup done.
Yeah.
And just to make it crystal clear and get the legislature to do that.
Can the legislature do that without a public referendum?
Yeah, a vote of
the
people.
Huh?
It would almost be like a vote of the people again, since that's how we were created, right?
The Administrative Procedures Act.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Next group has to decide on how they want to expand the breadth and scope of this commission. I don't know how you're going to take something to the people when you don't have a budget and there's a reason that you don't have it.
So why would we, I guess, have to?
I mean, that's my whole point.
That's who we're accountable.
We don't, with all due respect, she and I have not had a disagreement. She just says, it's a calendar issues, I think is the way she described it. Just get on. On its face, that looks like smart. But when you really dig into it, it's not smart. It, in my judgment, it is not what we need to do if we want to maintain the absolute dictates and duties and responsibilities set out in our mandate.
Well, I'm not saying I disagree with you. I don't know. I just want to do my due diligence.
Well, I don't know. I'll not agree with you. You might show me something as to why you used to sit in the big house.
No. they sometimes call it the ivory tower. You know? But what I'm pointing out here is, and I don't want to belabor this, is there is also an easy solution, which is amending the Administrative Procedures Act and cleaning it up. It doesn't go to the citizens. It's having the legislature put us in as an exemption.
If you can do that, that would be great. And better yet, why can't the Administrative Procedure Group just give us an exemption? That's all we need. Just make us exempt. Mm-hmm. Or if you think it's that important, you put it on the website yourself. That's all we, but don't have us come over and go, hey, you know what? We're really subservient to, we need to do this, and we're going to mess up if we don't.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I'm just looking at language.
But I could be wrong.
At language. And I want to be sure, I want to reread Article 19, is what I'm saying. I want to reread our constitutional mandate and reread it. And, I probably didn't come out on the same side, but that little stickler of me with words would like the Administrative Procedures Act to be corrected.
Weren't you law review?
Uh-huh.
See, she wasn't going to take that face value from me. She going, I'd have to go check that out. He doesn't know what he's doing.
No, I know you've researched it, Chuck. I'm not questioning that.
Well, I thank you for letting me bring it up. And I do think that it needs to get simply a resolution requires an easy decision and action that's for a complicated subject. It's really not that complicated. I don't want to see us make it something that it's really not. Well, that's not too simple for us.
Question.
Yes, sir.
When we talked about oversight, also we talked about really the citizens, but you mentioned jurisdictional courts. I didn't understand that.
Well, the circuit courts here have jurisdiction if we commit some kind of a crime or civil offense. That's pretty far-fetched. I mean, I can't see that. Or a federal court, I can't imagine such things as that.
So our oversight really is citizens.
There's nothing in there that mandates we even have some subservience to the Attorney General's office. That was done as a favor to us. I mean, and we're glad to have her and the other Assistant Attorney General before Nia was here. But my point is, with all due respect to the governor, there's nobody here that I respect any more than the governor and for the job he does. But we're not obligated to go over there, and we don't work for him.
We're not an agency.
We work for those people that are out there wondered what we're doing up here. And I envision, when y'all are here in the next year, or in the next year, I really have this vision that this experiment in citizen participation in government in a meaningful way, I mean, you've got to remember, it can be pretty powerful. We're pretty powerful when you're setting the salaries of all these people. I envision that citizens could be more involved in a meaningful way without it becoming a theater and really have input that makes it worthwhile to the public, that they get a feeling that we're involved, our say-so means something, and I see that as a good future for this commission, and especially with the quality of people that are being appointed to the commission, and I mean that. So I thank y'all for letting me tell it all.
Good.
What else now? We need to do anything else?
I move we adjourn.
Turn on your mic.
Oh. All right, now what?
I move we adjourn.
Oh, is that unanimous?
Second.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
All right.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. And I'm looking forward to developing some more ideas.
Yeah. You're right, Miss Vince. I'm not going anywhere until you're ready.
I agree.
I'll leave my phone.
He leaves his phone in the car.
Don't know. You don't get called. I think it's on the. Gotta get that. Find your phone app.